Good afternoon. You regulars get to hear me say this all the time, but I love being in the house of the Lord. Better is one day right here than 1,000 elsewhere. I love that. And I love that you guys take time out of your day and make it a priority to come and share, because huddle flows two ways. As friendships are bonded, are formed, and the bond of friendship grows, you find yourself, when you come, you find yourself lifted up. You walk away, you don't know who you lifted. So not only are you blessed by coming, but we're blessed by giving. You're blessed by coming, and others are blessed because you came. So keep that in mind. I'm just so thankful that you guys have come, and I'm privileged to be able to talk about friendship today, because I know that's kind of a you'd even think a bland friendship. Well, we have friends. We know what it's about. We know, you know, I have good friends. I have people that I hang out with. You might even say, I don't have any friends. I want to talk to all of you about that today. Me included, because the title that we've been using is Take and Give. Take and Give. Because we think of relationships as give and take. We go into a marriage and we think, well, it's give and take. I give 50, she gives 50. If I'm in a friendship, I give 50, he gives 50. And that contractual relationship, that is, I give to get. And that's not a covenant relationship, where a covenant relationship is not 50-50, it's 100-0. Our relationship and how we befriend someone does not depend on their response. And so we want to look at 1 Samuel 18, 1 through 4. I want to read it to you. It says, after David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return to his father's house. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword and his bow and his belt. So some of the things that we can learn from the relationship between David and Jonathan. One, and I've made the outline this way so we could follow along and do homework. Jonathan took the initiative. It says Jonathan made a covenant with David. Jonathan didn't wait for David to come to him and say, hey, you want to buddy up? Hey, what do you think about this? What do you want to do? Jonathan went to him and said, this is what I'm going to do for you. This is what I'm going to do with you. This is what I'm going to do because of you. Jonathan took the initiative. That he made a covenant. It's a covenant relationship. It is not a conditional, contractual relationship. And then the other thing Jonathan did, he gave. Part of the give and take, he gave up his right to rule. Jonathan gave up his right to rule. Jonathan was Saul's son. He was the heir to the throne. He was the prince. He was next in line for the kingdom. And he gave it up because of David. And to symbolize that, what he did, he said, here, take my robe. Take my tunic. Take my bow. Take my belt. Take my sword. Everything that Jonathan had that represented his royalty, he surrendered to David. He gave it to David. He surrendered his right to rule. And I'm saying that we need to do the same thing. And when you move on down through the outline, a true friend will do what Jonathan did to David. A true friend doesn't wait for you to come to him. A true friend doesn't wait for you to come to him. What he will do, if we are true friends, if we're true friends, we're going to pursue someone. We're going to reach out. We're going to take the initiative to befriend somebody. And then a true friend, and this is the hard one. A true friend cares more about what concerns you than what concerns me. Your best friend is probably your best friend because they shut up and listen to you sometimes. And you need that. They care more about what you have to say than them just waiting their turn to talk. More than just them waiting their turn to one up. Or to say, oh yeah, I know how you feel, Ron, but you know what I'm going through? We've all done that. And we've all been on the receiving end of that, where somebody will just let us talk. So when you think about that, ask yourself, which side are you on? Which side characterizes you? Are you on the listening end? Or are you on the end where, I wish he'd just shut up so I can tell him about my problems? I've been on both of them. I'm not going to tell you which one I spend most of my time on. And that leads me to the next blank. If you want a friend, be a friend. If you want a friend, be a friend. Take the initiative. Surrender your right to rule. And Jonathan and David were good examples of being friends. Who's our perfect example of being a friend? Absolutely, Jesus Christ. He's our perfect friend. He's the type of friend that's going to meet every need that we have. He's the one, I guarantee you, he's not going to sit there and after we've whined about our circumstances, he's not going to go, oh yeah? Let me tell you what they did to me 2,000 years ago. You want to know what it's like hanging on a cross? You lost your job? You want me to tell you what it's like to have your beard pulled out? He's not going to do that. He's going to say, I understand and I love you. I love you. Tell me about it. I'm going to help you through it. Bring it, because my yoke is easy. If you're tired, my burden's light. Come to me. That's the character of a true friend. And that's what we have in Christ. And so what he did, what Jesus took, he took the initiative. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Can you imagine what it would be like if Christ lived in the 50-50 world? I try and picture this conversation. God, you know what? They don't even like me. They ignore me most of the time. When they start showing me respect and they start following me, then I'll think about going to the cross. I am so thankful he didn't do what we would do. He took the initiative and he said, I care so much about those guys. God, I'm going. When can I go? He was anxious to get off the throne and come down here because of us, because of your wives, because of your kids. He was anxious to do it. He took the initiative. And we have to take that initiative. When we see people hurting, we've got to reach out to them. When we know people that need a friend, we have to take the initiative to reach out to them, just like Christ did to us. He took the initiative. And Christ gave up his right to rule. He took the initiative and he gave up his right to rule. Philippians 2. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not only look to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death. Even death on a cross. Christ had everything, sitting in heaven with on the throne with God. He was there, he had it all. And he gave it all up for us. He gave it all up for us. He had the right to not do that. But He did it because He loves us so much. How can we not respond in a way to others around us because of what He did for us? We have to respond like He did. We have to humble ourselves. We have to surrender our right to rule. We have to surrender our right to be heard. We have to surrender our right to be right. To lift somebody else up. That's what Christ is calling us to do. Now, it's World Series time. I'm a baseball fan. So, you see a baseball diamond on your hand out there. Now, I'm going to take you around the base paths real quickly. Okay? As you move around the diamond, we're going to talk about phases of friendships that you can recognize, that you can plan on, that you can work through. When you get to first base is acceptance. A key to that, listen, listen, listen. Quick to listen, slow to speak. Listen to what the people have to say. When you are talking to someone, be active, listen to them. Hear what they're saying. Refuse in your mind to just think, I wish they'd finish because I got something I want to say. Listen to them. Do common activities. And reach out to people, to guys that are different. Reach out to guys that are different. We have a tendency to hang around like-minded people, like-value people, like-dressed people. We have that tendency. That's our nature. We got to go against that to reach out. Christ went against His nature, pure and holy, sitting on a throne. He said, I'm going down into the dirt and the grime and the sin. He went out of His nature. We need to do the same. Romans 15:7 says, accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. That's why we do it. And then you're round first and you head to second. Second base. You're gonna experience some tough times at second base. And that's the time you have to persevere. Perseverance is a characteristic as you recognize you're moving around. That you're going to see conflict. You're going to see personal conflict. You're going to see unmet expectations. You've got to get beyond those and adjust them. Don't quit when you get to that time. When you see some conflict, don't quit. Don't give up. If someone's stiff-arming you, don't give up on them because that's when they need you the worst. The stiffer that arm gets, the more they need us. We can't quit. We got to persevere. 1 Corinthians 13, we've all heard this. Love. Always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. We got to love that guy through the stiff arm. And then you're around second and you head to third. And the key word there is exhort. As you get to third base, you begin to move into an area of an accountability. You get into move into a covenant relationship. It becomes less conditional. It becomes more unconditional. But this is where it gets thrilling, because at this pace, when you're on third base, you're pushing each other. You're helping each other fight for moral excellence. You're giving the other guy permission to ask you the hard questions, and you're asking them, with their permission, the hard questions. What are you looking at on the computer? What are you thinking about? Where are you spending your money? How have you treated your wife? How have you treated your kids? Those are hard questions that we don't want to answer a lot of times. But when you're standing on third base with somebody and you give them that permission, they're going to make you stronger. Your friendship's going to build. You're going to sharpen him. He's going to sharpen you. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. So he's saying you're doing it. You're building guys up. So keep doing it. Keep going. Don't fall short. And then you're around third. And what's the umpire say when you cross home plate? Safe. Safe. Now you're in an area of total trust. You're in an area where your relationship resembles Christ-likeness. You're in an area where you can open up to them, they can open up to you. That is a point where we all want to be. We want to be held accountable. We have shared lives, common values. And what you'll find is that both of you will move along this continuum of Christ-likeness. You'll move along together. And as you do that, you become friends to each other like Christ is to us. You cross home plate and you're safe. And that's where Christ wants us. He wants us home safe. In John 15... There's times that are leading up to the crucifixion. They're in they have the Last Supper. They have they go into Garden of Gethsemane. If you read that, there's a lot of red, and you have a red letter Bible. There's a lot of red ink in that section. And what it is Jesus knows his time on earth is short. He knows that it's about to end, and so he's got his closest guys around him, and he's trying to get their attention. He's trying to impart as much wisdom and knowledge as possible. He knows the time is short. The disciples are over here, oblivious to, they're on a timeline that, you know, that clock is going to be punched, and they're not aware of it yet. But Christ is. And so he's saying, I want you to learn this. I want you to learn that. Come on, you hear me here. And there's a point in there where in John 15, I can see him, you know, he's talking to these guys and he's been saying some stuff. And he's going, hey, listen up. Listen to me. You've got to catch this. And I can hear the urgency in his voice. He says, here's my command to you. He's not saying, hey, I think you oughta. Hey, if you get time, why don't you try? Hey, if it ever gets convenient for you, you might think about. He says, no, here's my command to you. Love each other as I have loved you. There is no greater love than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. So I can just picture Jesus. He's sitting there with these guys around him. And he's saying, listen to me. You got to get this. You got to get this. This is what I want you to do. And this is how I want you to do it. He didn't say it with words, but little did they know that 3 days later, he was going to do it with actions. He was going to show them how much he loved them, that he took the initiative. I'm going to die for you. I gave up my right to rule. I came down and I made my sacrifice because I love you. That's the way he wants us to live. I want to challenge each one of you guys. Look at your relationships with guys in your circle of influence. Look at them, evaluate them, and push them. And if you're one of those guys that's got a stiff arm, soften it up. God loves you. Other guys love you. They care about you. Let them in. Let them in. That's what God wants. God wants to use these guys in your life to help you. Will you bow your heads with me and pray for just a minute? Heavenly Father, God, I thank you so much, God, that you are the ultimate friend, that you are the perfect friend, God, that we don't set our own standard, that we can't make up the rules. You commanded us what to do, God. It's not optional. So I pray, Father, for every man in this room and every family that's representative and every marriage and every dad and every employee and every employer that's represented in here, God. I pray, God, that you would give us the ability and the desire to follow your commandment, to love each other like you loved us. That we would surrender, that we would take the initiative, God. We love you so much, and there's nothing we can do to ever pay you back. There's nothing that we can do, God, except love you and love others. So I pray you help us to do it. Give us the perseverance to do it, Lord Jesus. We give you the glory and the praise. The words that we say are so empty. They seem so hollow, God, because it doesn't measure up to the length that you went to show us your love. But I'm so thankful that you did. So thankful that you didn't wait on me, because I would have failed and I would not be spending eternity in heaven with you. So grateful, God. Thank you. Bless these men, Lord, as they go out. In Jesus' name, amen.